Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Jim Blasingame, he's the cyber king of small business. Search Google for small business expert, and he's tops on the list.
I guess that makes you number one.
He's number one on Google and number one in our hearts.
Aww.
He's Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. It's my pleasure to continue to be with you as always. You're going to be glad you stayed with me because we got our good buddy Ray Keating. Ray is chief economist for the Small Business and Entrepreneurship Council, and he's our good friend, Ray Keating. Welcome back to the show.
How are you, Jim?
It's good, doing great. It's good to have you back.
Glad to be here.
Thanks for being with us. Ray's also the author of DC by the Numbers, New York by the Numbers, and a number of other books. He's a columnist. Many of you see his posts on blogs and in various publications around the country. He does outstanding research on small business issues, and including a number of reports that we cover on this show. Ray, one of the things I wanted you to join us and talk to us about today is what's going on in the economy and how this is, so, and I say the economy, you know, in the old days, Ray, if I said what's going on in the economy, nobody thought about the government.
Right.
And I'm not being sarcastic. I speak sarcasm as a second language, but I'm not doing that right now. I mean, I'm being very, very, very serious, Ray. And you laughed appropriately. Your chuckle was appropriate, but let's get serious. Nowadays, when we talk about the economy, when we talk about the marketplace, we can't do that without thinking of the government. Ray, we now have a car czar. We have a bank czar. We have an energy czar. And I don't know about any others. There may be some others I just haven't thought of. But I understand we now, as of this weekend, we have a pay czar. Now, what I remember, the Romanovs had czars, right?
That's right.
And there was a revolution. People didn't like the czars. And so, if I were President Obama, I wonder if he's using that history as an example. He's got all these czars. There may have to be a revolution. What do you think?
Well, I'm hoping you're right in terms of the revolution, though a nonviolent one, of course.
Of course.
This is scary territory. I mean, to lay it fully out, you know, it got started by the previous administration, President Bush and his Treasury Secretary. And you're absolutely right. You look at banks right now, you look at the car companies obviously right now, and the thing is that as our politicians keep plowing ahead on this, most of the polls that I've seen, I have not seen a poll yet that has said, yeah, this is great. You know, that a majority of people are saying, yeah, this, we just love these bailouts for the banks, and we love these bailouts for the car companies and so on, and we think this is a great idea. It's just not the case. And in this instance, the people are absolutely right. But it's not only bad politics, if you will. The reason it's bad politics is because it's bad economics, and it's scary economics. And we've got we're setting a very dangerous precedent going forward, and we're setting creating real problems for the economy in the short term and in the long term. The notion that, you know, the president, the administration says that they don't want to get involved, for example, in the decisions of GM or Chrysler and so on, you can't really quite frankly...
Well, at the moment that they were saying that, and folks, listen, I want you to understand what Ray and I are talking about. This is not Democrat or Republican, right, Ray? I mean, this is, as you pointed out earlier, this is political class we're talking here. It just so happens the Democrats are in charge of everything right now. But the thing is, Ray, at the moment that President Obama was saying, you know, we don't want to be running the car company, he was calling the mayor of Detroit, telling them we're not going to move the headquarters out of Detroit. Now, what is that if not making high-level corporate decisions?
Oh, absolutely. Where the headquarters are located, he was pushing out CEOs. He is making quite clear what kind of cars he thinks that the car company should make, which,
they foisted Chrysler onto Fiat.
Right.
Foisted those two guys together.
It's
even though Chrysler has serious...
Chrysler
has serious reservations about some of the things Fiat's willing to do. I mean, Fiat's a sick puppy, too.
Right, and that was, you know, the Wall Street Journal has an article today, I believe, that goes into that in terms of the execs at Chrysler pointing that out and not being too pleased about being pushed into that whole
thing. It's an arranged marriage, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's and you know what? As somebody else had said that, you know, for Fiat, though, this is a free gift for them. I mean,
right.
Basically, they don't have any skin in the game, and they can just kind of, you know, they're getting a car company, and they'll see run with it as far as they can. So.
Well, there's a great irony in the automobile side. There's a great irony going on right now that when we come back after this break, I want Ray to touch on. I've talked about it recently, and that's the irony of the government, of the failure of one union-laden industry being nationalized by the government, basically, meanwhile, simultaneously, the government is trying to encourage more unionization. I'm going to get ready to talk about that, and we're going to move on and talk about some other issues that affect your small business and mine. 20 till. Stay with me. I'll be right back.
It'll take time, I know it.
Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you'll check it out and use it to your advantage. You've got lots of stuff there. You got 1 minute or actually you got 5 seconds. We got something you can do there in 5 seconds or 1 minute or 3 minutes or 15 minutes. You can read, you can listen. We got whatever you want there. Ask a question. Check out my blog, subscribe to my newsletter, lots of activity that you can engage yourself in there, and check out our Brain Trust as well if you want, about 1,600 of the smartest people on small business on the planet, largest community of small business experts in the world. And of course, if you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at Jim Blassingame. Ray Keating is our guest. Ray is Chief Economist for the Small Business and Entrepreneurship Council, and he's a longtime member of our Brain Trust. And Ray, as we went to the break, we're talking about some of the public policy issues that are affecting small businesses directly or indirectly. I just think the irony is palpable. You can cut it with a knife. That while the government is nationalizing one industry, fully half of the reason is because of unions, the UAW. The list of ridiculous concessions that those companies made to unions is long. It would blow you away, folks, if you knew all of them, like the Jobs Bank, which I just found out recently, Ray, goes back to the 1970s. I didn't know that. But anyway, while they're doing that, they're also trying to pass, the government's trying to pass the card check bill, the Employee Free Choice Act, so-called. And, Ray, the irony is incredible, isn't it?
Oh, it's if you want more of what we have now in terms of companies facing, going out of business, facing bankruptcy, or looking for bailouts from the taxpayers, then yeah, this is the type of bill that you want to see passed because essentially it makes it so much easier for labor unions to organize workplaces because all you would have to do is go out and get 50% plus one to check off a card and sign it. Saying,
in
yeah,
public, though, not even secret ballots.
No, no secret ballots.
That's the part.
The card
that's
check.
The un-American
and
part.
That opens the door, obviously, to all sorts of union strong-arming tactics that have been well documented throughout history, and they have not stopped, and they will be reinvigorated, revitalized, if something like this passes. So there's no private ballot.
They can't
no
sell their
election,
product
like
in the marketplace.
We expect to have in democracies, and then on top of that. Once you're unionized, if the business and the labor union don't come to an agreement within a certain number of days, then a bunch of government appointees step in and dictate your pay, your compensation, your workplace conditions for the next coming 2 years.
I talked to somebody who employs about 100 people, and she's got a very unique manufacturing business, fills an incredible niche, doing a great job. And I said, what are you going to do if they pass this and they try to organize in your company through this card check bill? She said, I've already told my employees, you know, I'll be moving a bunch of my operation to Mexico.
Yeah, yeah. the ironic thing, that's a good point. And people seem to think that free trade agreements force companies to move their operations elsewhere around the world. Well, it couldn't be farther from the truth. What helps to push operations elsewhere are the regulatory and tax costs and things like that here.
That's exactly, and that's what's happening at on other levels as well. What do you think about this Pazar? I mean, the Pazar, but and Ray, explain to the folks, because a lot of people may not know what this is all about. Folks, this is the thing that blows me away as much as anything. Ray, this Pazar. Tell the audience what that's all about.
It's basically the government saying that once you're involved in getting all sorts of bailouts and handouts and things from the government, that they're going to have somebody checking on what everybody's getting paid and setting limits and so on. So, you know, there's a reason
it's basically aimed at the banks, right?
Right.
The banks have taken TARP money,
right.
And they went over the top. They didn't realize they were so stupid to keep paying people. Okay, they had some contracts they had to fulfill, but some of them weren't. And we know all the stupid stories that they did, and so the government reacted to that with a Pazar, basically.
Right, and no one, quite frankly, should be surprised by any of this, because when the government gets its hands in and comes into the economy in a way that it's doing now, it's not just free money dropping from the sky. If there were people in these industries, whether it be financial industry or the automobile industry, that think this was just money dropping and it was just going to be free and everything's going to be hunky-dory, they were fooling themselves. Because with government money comes government control.
That's the reason the banks are trying to pay this money back as quick as they can to get the government out of their boardrooms.
That's exactly right. Because all of a sudden, the light went on, the bell rang, and they said, oh, my goodness. You mean if we take this money, there are going to be all sorts of controls?
But here's the thing that worries me about the Pazar, Ray. You and I both have seen things like the Davis-Bacon Act, where anything connected, even indirectly, to a government job, you got to pay union wages.
Right.
Other things. In other words, you could have a company, ultimately, what I fear is that with this Pazar thing, you could have a company that just does business with a TARP recipient. And I could see where ultimately this Pazar would start looking all the way down through the direct connection to the indirect connections. What do you think?
It doesn't take much of a leap to look at car companies, where now the government owns whatever majority percentage of car companies, that the same thing is going to happen. So absolutely, Jim, it is a way to just kind of spread the tentacles of government.
I can't wait, Ray. I've been saying for a long time, I want the concession on seats at the bargaining table when the government and the union are on one side and the union is on the other side as well. The unions are both sides of the table and the government sitting beside them. I want to be able to charge people for admission. Wouldn't you pay to watch that? I would. I would pay to watch that. I just want the concession to be able to sell those seats.
That's quick, right. There you go.
Quick break. We'll be right back with Ray Keating. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with me.
You're not sitting there alone.
We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, having a great visit with our good friend Ray Keating, Chief Economist for the Small Business and Entrepreneurship Council. Ray, give us your website. Tell us how we can find you and about all the wonderful things you guys do for small business.
If you go to sbecouncil.org, you will find all sorts of wealth of information, services for small business, all sorts of great things, great links to the things that are help your business. We work on policy issues from A to Z. You'll find where your state ranks on tax and regulatory climate.
Nobody does that better than Ray, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Outstanding job there. Can I also find out how my member of Congress voted on small business issues? Can I still get that?
You can. We have to update it. We don't have the latest update on that, so we got to get that.
What are you doing in your spare time, Ray? What's the problem?
But you know what? The other thing you'll find how energy issues impact small businesses, capital and credit issues. We have a couple of series there on that stuff, so you'll find a whole bunch of good stuff there.
All right, so check it out, folks, sbecouncil.org. There is no organization that I've been telling you about longer than this group. They, pound for pound, nobody does more for small business than they do, and I appreciate them very much. Ray, we're talking about the government intervention in the marketplace. Ray, this can't stand. I mean, even we all know that the government can't even run its own business. So this thing's going to solve itself. It may be ugly, but I mean, they're going to go so far that they get so entrenched that it just collapse in the weight of the inefficiency and the stupid things the government does, or somebody's going to think better of this and start pulling us out. I mean, this can't stand, can it?
Well, I hope it doesn't. I mean, you know, there are things that stand in the political world that wouldn't stand anywhere else.
Don't we already? I mean, we already know socialism does not work.
Right. Well,
socialism doesn't
that.
Have a job.
I thought we knew that, but obviously there are some folks that didn't get that memo. And if you look at what's going on, at the debate right now in healthcare.
Yeah, that's the big
thing,
one right
we're
there.
We're doing that. It's the same thing all over again. And you hear the president and others in Congress saying that that more government is going to be more cost effective and more efficient. Now,
with a straight face, he says that.
Right. It's
and listen, hey, listen, Ray. There are Republicans saying that.
Yeah, it's preposterous. But this is what we're going through right now. So
Republicans over the weekend making almost the same thing. It's frightening to me that folks, before the end of the year, the government may be in control of 17%, almost one fifth, certainly one sixth of the U.S. economy, and when that happens, folks, I mean, I've been to Europe. I don't know if you have, but folks, but if you've been to Europe and you talk to anybody over there, they got taxes coming out their ears to pay for all this stuff.
And you just hit the nail on the head to mention Europe, because if we want to become Europe, a slow growth, no job creation place, then these are the types of policies that we need to accomplish that. So people have to wake up.
And it's the enemy of small business.
Oh, it is. Yeah,
because they don't have entrepreneurship in Europe, folks. They don't have entrepreneurship in Europe.
That's exactly right. We are the leader on the globe in terms of entrepreneurship. It's in our blood, but the government can strangle that and kill it, and these types of policies are almost, it seems like they're designed to kill entrepreneurship.
Speaking of which, the reason why they don't have one of the reasons why they don't have entrepreneurship at any significant level in Europe, and folks, we're making a general statement, but it's pretty close to across the board, it's because they have an aversion to failure in Europe. Culturally and systemically, they don't like failure in Europe. Well, nobody likes failure, but in America, if you fail, you get another chance. In Europe, you don't.
Right, and that's a key point, Jim. The economics of failure are critical. There's, you know, when you look at some of these car companies and so on, I'm not saying they would have gone out of business. I think they could have gone through a normal bankruptcy and emerged much stronger.
Yeah.
But when you're talking about a business that's actually going to fail, as hard as that is for the people that are involved, it's part of the process. If you're not serving consumers well, consumers are the final judge and jury. If you're not serving them well, you go out of business, and then those resources are allocated to some other entrepreneur, business owner that's going to do it better or do something different. And that's the beauty of the system. You have to have that as part of the system.
Right.
Otherwise, you get stagnation.
Absolutely. And that's what we're – folks, we don't – here's the thing. We don't have to wonder what the result of all this is going to look like. All we got to do is look at Europe. It's already happened. It's the experiment that's already taken place. We just got to – and, folks, we can stop this. We're just going to have to do it ourselves with the help of people like Ray Keating and the Small Business and Entrepreneurship Council. Ray, thanks for being here. Good job today.
I appreciate it, Jim. Take care.
We'll see you next week. Keep up the good fight. See you next time.
All right,
got to go
care.
For this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blassingame reminding you to always seek excellence, not perfection. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.